Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Hey everyone, my name is Asher Roddy.
And this is Tyler Whipple.
Welcome to Talking Two-Tone.
We're thrilled to bring you a new and thought-provoking podcast that talks all things Tennessee Titans.
Go ahead and reserve your ticket now. It's going to be an incredible journey. Tighten up.
All right, guys, welcome back to another edition of Talking Two-Tone. I'm Tyler Whipple. I'm joined by my good friend and wonderful co-host, Asher Roddy. We've got some things to talk about this week.
We
had so much fun talking about the Peaky Blinders last week that we got a good little surprise that you guys will probably really enjoy hearing. We got a guy who really knows the stuff in the film and media coming in, so we'll get into that later. But first, Asher, let's get right into it, man. We want to talk about our expectations versus reality for this year, this Titans team. What is your expectations versus what you think reality will be?
I think that first of all, it's great to be back. Always great to be back talking Titans and just talking shit with Tyler. Shooting the shit's always a great time. But I think, overall for this Titans team, my expectations are, as a fan, you got to win at least 12 games. You won 12 last year, you got to win at least 12 this year. With that being said, reality-wise, we've got a rookie wide receiver who's stepping into, wide receiver one role or that expectation. You've got Robert Woods coming off of a torn ACL. You got Derrick Henry coming back who's got doubters. You've got Jeffrey Simmons, who's a monster, who is ascending to becoming one of the top interior defensive linemen in the NFL, if not number two already. You've got Kevin Byard, who is an all-pro and the best safety in the league. It's not even close. Please don't argue with me. It's not even close. You've got a young DB secondary. The defense is going to have to carry this team. I think the defense is going to have to carry this team unless Todd Downing has somehow, for the love of God, found a way to be more creative with his play calling, and hopefully O'Hara can help him with that. But, my reality is I could easily see this team barely winning 10 games, which is, it's kind of spoiled to say that after 8-8. But I could see this team winning 10 games, and I could also see this team winning 13 games. I don't know. It just depends on how this offense – there's so many uncertainties on the offensive side of the football, which, seems to be like a common theme with the Titans. Their defense throughout the history has always been good. But the offense is always just hit or miss. But, yeah, that's what I think.
I think we got spoiled about the 2020 year. Everybody expects the Titans to duplicate that 2020 season of offense. Now, it's a little unrealistic because that offense was the best probably.
That was
the best offense in Tennessee Titans history that year. It was unreal how good that offense was. We almost had two 1,000-yard receivers. We had a 2,000-yard rusher. No, that was the year Derek went for, 1,800 that year, I think?
And 1,800. Then, he missed a game that year.
Yeah, and then we had Tannehill had, 30 TDs and only, six picks. It was unreal the season they had. He had, 4,000 yards passing or a little right under 4,000, I believe.
Not this year. But we're talking about expectations.
Expectations for the Titans this year in, the grand scheme, if you're talking national media, a lot of teams are still picking us to be number two in the division. They're looking at us being a 9-8 team, 10-7 at best. And I think the Titans are going to be better than that. People are really, really undervaluing the signing of Tim Kelly and what he can do within the passing game. If you look at the Texans, how much better they got at the end of the year last year in the passing game.
their offensive coordinator, who is Tim Kelly, who is now
on our staff, is really going to be in Todd Downing's ear helping. You got to think another thing. Todd Downing is in his second year. It's going to be a lot of those bumps and bruises along the way should be cushioned out a little bit. We shouldn't be hitting, you know, full tilt concrete speed bumps. We should be hitting speed cushions at this point, right? I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but I think they really will improve this year. Losing A.J. Brown is huge, obviously. But I think
the play call will be better.
I believe we still have the roster to do it, because I believe the tools we have right now are just up to par, or maybe even a slight bit better than we had last year. Because Julio Jones was never in the field. Our tight end room was horrible. Our tight end room is upgraded from an F to at least a B, I would say. Our wide receiver room has devalued, of course. Yeah, we probably went from a B plus to a C minus. But our quarterback's going to be in a better position this year. I believe our offensive line will be a little better in the pass protection game. And, of course, we're always going to run the ball downhill and play really well there. So I think we're going to win 11 games again. I think we're going to win the division. That's my reality.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could see anything realistically. I could see Tennessee going off, you know, just pissed off like a teenager. You just took away your cell phone. I could see that happening, right?
It feels like 2000.
It just does. Actually, Brown's little to me.
Not known in 2019. And we went to the AFC Championship game. Who says Treylon Burks can't play that well? You know, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, that's what it feels
the
like.
The national media says he can't because of his asthma, which blows my mind. You know, everybody who has asthma, just about almost a decent amount of players that have asthma are just fine. Jay Cutler played with fucking diabetes. All right. So, you know, diabetes. But, you know, yeah.
And with a piss-poor attitude.
Yeah, he did. Piss-poor attitude. But, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. Leading on to the next topic, and you kind of touched on it, about the tight end room. I've gone on record numerous times saying that I hate the idea of ever having to carry three tight ends. I hate it. I hate having three tight ends active on every single game day. I hate even having, you know, I understand why you have to have two, but I don't know for the life of me why you have to have three. I could just, I mean, good God. And I swear to God, if the starting tight ends this year are not Austin Hooper and Chig, I'm going to have an absolute come apart, because Jeff Swaim is terrible. Jeff Swaim is committing robbery by still being on this team. He is so bad. I understand why you have to have – kind of understand why you have to have Jeff Swaim there in case Chig gets hurt. But, God damn it, why would you re-sign him? You know, let him test the free agent market and see how little to no value he brings. And then you sign him on a veteran minimum. You don't sign him for like a two-year, $7 million contract or something.
We could have kept Anthony Firkser for that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my God, but I am really excited about Chig. I'm excited about Austin Hooper. I think he is literally just, you have like quote-unquote run-blocking tight ends, and then you have quote-unquote every-down tight ends. I think Austin Hooper is an every-down tight end. I do not understand why Jeff Swaim was brought in solely as a blocking tight end when he graded out horribly at the position. I think every single game last year, or at least 10 instances, I saw one play where Jeff Swaim just absolutely had a horrible attempt at a block, and it caused a big loss. I don't know how you can allow that to continue to happen. And also, another thing that really has pissed me off lately is that I'm seeing reports that we're going to keep four tight ends, which is going to piss me off even more than having to keep three. The only thing that could have pissed me off more than keeping three tight ends is keeping four. Okay, I mean, that's really going to piss me off, because you know what that means? That means you have one less offensive lineman depth, you have one less DB depth, and that means you probably don't even have a fucking fullback, which basically at that point is the same thing as a blocking tight end. Like, if there are four tight ends on this 53-man roster on week one, I am going, I will have a fit. I'm already fired up.
I don't see it happening.
I'm already fired up.
I think it's much to do about nothing, Asher. I think it's much to do about nothing, man. And I think Torrey Carter is going to be on the roster because they really like him. And they got rid of Blasting Games, so Torrey Carter's that guy. I don't see us having four tight ends. I mean, who is the fourth tight end on this roster? This
Jeff Swaim.
So
I don't see that happening.
Is it Swaim? Who's number three after Chig? Oh, Hudson's still on the roster.
Tommy Hudson.
Yeah, I really don't see them picking Jeff Swaim or Tommy Hudson over Torrey Carter, as good as he is in the run game. I just don't see it. So, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, the offense could have a new identity, but we'll see.
I would be okay with them having a fourth tight end if it was only named Carter. Like, that would be justified, in my opinion. Like, if you carried three. If you carried Chig and Hooper and then you put Jeff Swaim on the practice squad where I think he belongs, and then you put Torrey Carter or whatever his name is in there as, like, the third tight end slash fullback, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. But
he's got a neck roll. He's a maniac.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a little neck roll guy.
Three tight ends, and then in addition to Jeff Swaim. But, you know, that we're kind of getting sidetracked. Yeah, I hope not. I hope to God. I will write a letter. A very strongly worded letter.
You hear this, J. Rob? You better not have four tight ends. You better not.
I mean, that's just
we're coming to Nashville.
Stupid. I'll come to Nashville, and I won't fucking leave until I see somebody in the Titans front office.
We're gonna picket outside the.
No four tight ends.
Three tight ends at max. That's what we're doing.
Three tight ends maximum, never four. But, you know, transitioning to a topic that we've talked about previously, but it's kind of – I like to make a play on words. You know, a Mexican standoff, I like to call it a Mexicali stand-on. There's kind of a little chess game going on, I think, with J-Rob versus Vrabel and Jeffrey Simmons right now. I think Vrabel's always been a player's coach. He always will be. He takes care of his players. He rewards them when they do well. He doesn't when they don't. He lets them know. He holds them accountable. And I think, you know, from what I've been hearing and what I've been reading around Nashville is at least in the mandatory minicamp. Now, keep in mind, this may bear some fruit or it may bear no fruit whatsoever, is that Jeffrey Simmons was out on the field but not practicing, not partaking. He was on a bike somewhere else, just doing light jogs, stuff like that. He says he's 100%. He's not hurt. Vrabel did not say he was hurt. And then, you know, you kind of have the Vrabel mindset to where if you're healthy, you practice. There's always been about that. And then you have some peculiar comments that I was reading today while I was at work about Jeffrey Simmons saying that he's healthy. He's good to go. He said he'll be available. He at first said he will practice at training camp. And then he said he will be available at training camp. Kind of backtracked a little bit. And what I'm kind of reading into this is that Jeffrey Simmons set to make $2.2 million on his fourth year of his rookie contract. He doesn't have a contract extension. There are 10 other defensive players that make more money than he does. And Vrabel understands that. He understands how valuable Jeffrey Simmons is. He also understood how valuable A.J. Brown was, and he was very pissed off when they had to trade him. So I think Vrabel is kind of fueling the fire here of letting Jeffrey Simmons hold out. And that's what I think's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
I mean, and that's all this is like pure speculation because, of course, the Titans are pretty close and they don't let a lot of stuff get out, like the A.J. Brown trade. Crazy. Nobody expected it to come. It's just that's usually what the successful organizations do in the NFL. They're not really loud in the offseason. They let things happen internally and they don't let stuff leak. So this is all speculation. We don't let Jefferson be a big time Titan forever. And I mean, it does work out at times. Like Taylor Lewan held out on his rookie deal and he ended up getting the bag. So maybe Jeffrey Simmons does the same thing. And maybe he's just there to, I don't know, to show he's still available at the same time he wants the bag. So I don't know. I don't really want to read too much into it because it makes me nervous. So
it makes me nervous too. But if let's put ourselves in Jeffrey Simmons' shoes, I would 100% hold out if I were him. 100% until I got a new contract, I would hold out. And that might piss off a bunch of, you know, armchair fans who say, oh, you should just play for the love of the game. Fuck that. He is the 11th highest paid defensive player on our roster. He is performing at an all-pro and Pro Bowl level. He is one of the two vocal leaders on this defensive team besides Kevin Byard. And I think he deserves at least $20 million a year. I genuinely believe that.
Well, he's top five years player ago, in the NFL in defense.
Yeah. I mean, and you keep in mind, 5 years ago to yesterday, I believe, is when Aaron Donald said he would hold out until he got a new contract. Now, that may have little to no bearing of fruit or whatever or what have you. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was at Von Miller's Pass Rush Summit, you know, the meeting that they all do. They get together and share their tips and pros, and he loves the game. He just is, he knows what he's worth, and I respect it. I would hold out if I were him, and I would say, look, I want to be here. I think Jeffrey Simmons wanted to be in Tennessee more than A.J. Brown did, obviously, because A.J. Brown was putting on this huge fugazi that he wanted to stay and all this. He wanted to be a Titan for life. And then his best friend Jalen Hurts calls him up, who can't throw for more than 3,000 yards in a football season, 17 games, calls him up and says, hey, come on down to Philadelphia. And so I think A.J. blackballed his way out of the Tennessee organization to get to Philadelphia, where he's going to enjoy little to no success in that passing offense. And then where you have Jeffrey Simmons, who probably loves Vrabel, and they probably love each other because they're defensive guys and they're just freaks. So, you know, if I'm Jeffrey Simmons, I'm not worried about it because I'm way more, you know, excited about Jeffrey Simmons getting his contract than A.J. Brown, because we traded A.J. Brown. We traded his what we would have had to have paid him, and we flipped that into a rookie contract, which ultimately created over more space in the long term in cap terms. And I think Jeffrey Simmons will command that 20. Instead of spending $20 million on A.J. Brown, would you rather have spent $20 million on Jeffrey Simmons, is basically what I'm trying to say. And if you asked me that question, I would have told you Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is more valuable to this team than A.J. Brown was.
Yeah.
So that's where I am.
I could agree with that. I mean, if they would have paid A.J. Brown $20 million, I would
get the bag. Because, you know, we're about to be out of the quarterback
contract after next year, most likely. So we could have done it, but let's not dwell on the past. You know, let's move on. A.J. Brown's not a Titan anymore. But I think Jeffrey Simmons is a long-term Titan. You know, I said the same thing about A.J. Brown. So it does concern me, but at the same time, I really, like you said, I just feel like this is such a defensive-centric franchise. They're going to make it happen, and they're going to pay the man, and he's going to be a Titan for life, at least a Titan for the next 5 to 7 years.
Now it's time for Talking Two Tones Fan of the Week.
As we talked about earlier, we have Roger Fountain coming on. He is the expert in film and digital media. He's going to give us a lot of takes going forward here. I think your guys are going to really enjoy him. He is really smart in this industry. He knows his movie stuff. He is actually the executive producer of Darking Media. It's a production company that he owns. He has a TikTok page as well. It's called Darking Media as well. It's just the same. It's Darking Media. He has a lot of cool videos and content on the TikTok page where he rates movies, and he shows you what you should be watching. And I think you guys really enjoy it. So go check that out. Subscribe or follow whatever it is on TikTok these days. It's Darking Media, like I said. Now, Roger, we're happy to have you on, buddy. And let's get this going.
It's great to be here, Ty. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Asher, you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I love you guys' podcast. I listened to a couple of episodes. I think like last week or the week before, whatever the previous one was, when you guys started talking about Peaky Blinders, I stopped listening right before that because like I haven't seen any of it, and so I'm just like spoilers. Yeah, so but I listened up until then. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, did you hear my part about the whole Colts plane crashing and killing all the players?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna double down on that. I still stand by that comment. I don't care. But yeah. You know, Roger, we got a couple of talking points with you. One thing I kind of wanted to open it up with, you know, Tyler mentioned to me that you lived in the Nashville area for a good portion.
But going back, you know, the tie them together, you know, you talk about Trevor Lawrence and how good he's played. That's why I think it's so critical for us to get a quarterback, man. The AFC South is going to be quarterback laden here soon, and we better get one. So that's just where I'm at on that. But moving on, you know, guys, we talked about the GM and we talked about what we do. We gave you our prediction for the Super Bowl. However, we are joining a Sports History Network. Well, that's actually what it's called. But the network is obviously called Sports History. So we want to go ahead and, you know, give you a little history of the Titans. And we've been doing this now, this segment, for 5 iterations now with this one. It's the best Titan to wear the jersey number. So we're 1 through 4, and we're going to go to number 5. And I'm trying to make this a little quicker than usual because we've got some time constraints. But number 5 is an underrated player. You know, a lot of people don't give this guy enough love. I mean, his numbers wasn't great as a Titan. But, you know, this guy really kind of took the franchise when they needed a solid guy to take the helm. He was there, and when we needed him, he delivered a lot of time. The best player to wear the jersey number 5 for the Tennessee Titans franchise, Asher, as you know this, is Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
Kerry Collins, like I said earlier, he was very unappreciated. You know, I don't think a lot of guys wanted to come in. But people forget, 2018, they were so good that should have. That 2018 still makes me sick, man. That defense was so good. We should have won the Super Bowl. But, of course, we lost.
It's this 49ers team. Yeah. It's literally this 49ers team.
That defense was in – that front 7 of that defense. I can't think of a better front 7 off the top of my head ever that I can think. I mean, you got Mr. Monday Night himself and Keith Bullitt running the linebacker core. And then that front
Stephen
four,
Tulloch.
Stephen Tulloch. The front 4 was so crazy, man. You got Kyle Vandenbosch, Albert Haynesworth – and Javon Kirsch, top 3 I can think of. And the guys that rotated in there was insane.
Then you got Michael Griffin. You got Pac-Man Jones, I believe, was still there. You've got Finnegan, Michael Griffin. You've got who was the other safety back there? I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, no, it wasn't Roll. It was after Roll. It was the strong safety.
Not Roll. Tank Williams. It was Tank Williams, wasn't it?
Maybe. Maybe.
I think it was Tate Williams. It could be. Anyway, but that I don't want to get too far off on a tangent. But Kerry Collins led that offense to a 13-3 record that year. And you know the defense led, but that was Jeff Fisher ball. And yeah. A lot of situational moments. Kerry Collins.
If Algie Crumpler's fat ass didn't fumble the ball 3 times against the Ravens, we would have won.
But you think about it, that's probably his best target in those years. So Kerry Collins did a lot with what he had to work with.
Algie Crumpler was obese.
Algie Crumpler went to the Falcons and had a good career, though, unfortunately for us. He had 2 Pro Bowls in his career. One of them was with us. With the Titans, he had a 15-17 record. That just shows you how good that 2008 season was for us. Because he won 12 of his 15 games that year. So, and, you know, I kind of want to say – Kerry Collins was the last guy to lead us to the playoffs until Marcus Mariota did it. So that tells you how long we was in the, you know, an abyss there between Collins and Mariota. But, you know, if I had to pick a player back then that was just rock solid Titan that's underappreciated, I would probably pick Kerry Collins.
I'd agree with that. You know, Chris Johnson, if Chris Johnson doesn't get hurt in that game, if they don't intend – the Ravens intentionally hurt Chris Johnson that game. They were twisting his ankle, pulling his back, all kinds of stuff. And also the infamous delay of game that was never called.
Yes. Gosh.
A lot of things went against the Titans that day. But at the end of the day, what happened was Algie Crumpler should have gotten keto and should have learned how to hold on to the ball a little bit longer. Because I think he had 3 fumbles lost in that playoff game, and they still should have won. still should have won. But anyhow, Kerry Collins came in. Vince Young, who dealt with injuries, was a winner. When he played, he won games. He was never Jeff Fisher's pick. Kerry Collins was his guy. Kerry Collins was extremely serviceable. Probably, you know, we didn't deserve Kerry Collins. He was so good. He could make all the throws. You didn't ask him to throw the ball 30 times, but he could if he needed to. And he's literally like an aged Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
You know?
Game manager.
Yeah, game manager. Just don't fuck it up. And, you know, it wasn't his fault. He did not fuck it up. Algie Crumpler fucked it up.
It looked like he threw three interceptions that game. One of our other quarterbacks has done.
Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, Kerry Collins is probably the best ever to wear number 5 for us. I would agree with that. Guys, there are no time constraints. This lover boy Tyler here is having his 7th wedding anniversary. So we
Let me go ahead and fix that. Yeah, we've been married 9 years.
See, look at that. What a great attentive husband he is, everybody. See, there's no way he doesn't get husband of the year award for that. See how fast he corrected me right there? Look at that. But we are extremely excited to be joining the Sports History Network. We will be switching over to that relatively soon. We're still finalizing some things. We are extremely fortunate to have this opportunity. And there are a lot of good things on the horizon. We'll be doing some merchandise, which will be very, very cool. So if you've ever wanted to have or own a Talking Two-Tone shirt or anything along those lines, you'll have that opportunity. We're also going to have our own website, which will be very exciting. And, you know, I got just some quick reflection on my end. I never really thought that this website or that this podcast would be, you know, this well equipped, this, you know, a little over a year into it. We just kind of texted about this one day and said, we should do a podcast. And then like a week later, we started doing this. I think I was doing it in Montgomery, Alabama, in a recliner in a room that was about the size of a linen closet. And here we are now. So, I mean, there's still a lot more fun things in store, and I'm excited to see where this journey takes us. And I couldn't ask for a better co-host to do it with.
Absolutely. I can't say any better than you just said it, guys.
We are excited for the opportunity, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. Like Asher said, we're going to be moving to Captivate. But our podcast will still be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but it's going to be available on Captivate as well. So we might be doing some changes up to as far as the podcast goes. But, we're excited. And with that, you know, like always, we're going to leave you guys with a big tighten up.
Tighten up, baby.
And we'll see you next time.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, and some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.